not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my
listen to the words of this prelude.
A true word I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I
is Our Savior Lutheran Church in Port Huron, and we're so glad that you turned us on. We're here to worship, but I felt compelled today to pass along. We were listening to Vacation Bible School songs yesterday.
Yes.
And one of the things that came out was, the church is not a building, and it has rang through with people calling one another, people checking in, emailing, but most importantly, the prayers that have gone up for individuals, for groups, just across the board. I feel it. I feel God's presence. I really hope that you do too, because it's not the building. It is the people. And we are the people.
Thank you, Cheryl. As Cheryl indicated, we're on WPHM 1380 AM. If you got us on a transistor radio or a plug-in radio, or if you're doing simulcast, you have it on your phone or your pad or your computer. Monday afternoon, the radio station assures us our podcast will be there. Please note that in the world of cyber, you can pay for podcasts and some are free. There is no charge to access the podcast, so recommend it to friends and family. Now, if you were listening to the news on the entrance to this hour of 8 a.m. The lead stories are the first things you heard. The first two were talking about how terrible life is, how the economy and death are all around us. Then they will later go on to explain when they come to it. Now compare the world's condition with that of this time and space that we gather here right in this hour, because we started with "Great is thy faithfulness." And as I was thinking how this service should start and what mood should be set for you, I hope it would be as my wife loves the Beckman Brothers on QVC selling their goat milk, that this will be your happy place. Find this space. Let the world be outside. All your cares and concerns for neighbors, problems with people, problems with the frustration of politics and everything by everybody. Instead of looking at the good that is before us in the creation and by God's word. This is our happy place. So we continue the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with Christ to a new life. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning of creation, you created us in your image. You planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched. You gave us water from a rock. And when we didn't even know the way, you sent the good shepherd to lead us into still waters. At the cross, you watered from us from Christ's wounded side. And then on this day, you showered us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, for all water everywhere around us. Bathe us in your forgiveness, your grace, your love. Satisfy the thirsty and give us the life only you can give. To you be given honor, praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our entrance hymn and radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Jim Wendt, in memory of his dear wife, who was a wonderful saint among us here at Our Savior. He's in Tennessee listening to this broadcast. Cheryl will be reading the lyrics behind the beautiful hymn that we sing at Our Savior in Congregation Assembled, but this is going to be instrumental version. I chose that so you could hear the words overlaid. Surely the presence.
Power and God's grace.
the brush of angels' wings, and I see glory on each face. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of God's garment. I can almost see his face. And my heart is overflowing with the fullness of God's joy. And I know without a doubt that I have been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and his grace. Of my Lord is in this place.
Thank you, Cheryl. Surely the presence, the happy place, is here with the Lord. Our greeting for the day, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise this day is one of favorites, Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty.
Father in heaven, how we love you.
We love you.
We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praise.
In our praises.
As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Yeah.
This is a check-in moment time. At this part of the service, we've been praising God, for God is worthy of praise. Now we're ready for application and instruction from the Word of God. We begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to be all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 17, selected verses. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made from human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we have lived and moved and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offering. Since we are God's offering, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold, silver, stone, an image formed by the art and the imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 66, and the antiphon is, bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of the praise be heard.
Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip.
Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as a silver is tried.
You brought us into this net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs.
You let people ride over your heads. We went through fire and water. You brought us out into a place of refreshment.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows.
Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble,
I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats.
Bless our God, you peoples.
Let the sound of praise be heard.
Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue.
If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me.
Blessed are God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard.
Our second lesson is from 1 Peter. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Let your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, those in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water and baptized, which this prefigured now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life.
The gospel text for this day, in alignment with the preceding two readings from Acts and from the book of 1 Peter, one you don't hear from often. Today, the gospel has been, for the previous 3 weeks, John 14, beginning with the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Now this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor does it know him. You do know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Now I'm not going to leave you orphan. I am coming to you. And in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but it will see you. And you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Hold on to those words. That's a happy place. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who do not love me will be loved by my Father. Those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them, and I'll reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise
to you, O Christ.
Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with you this day. Check in again, second time. Are you in your happy place? First reading, Book of Acts, as Cheryl has read it for us. And if you have the bulletin that is supplied with your e-letter, you can track us. If you do not get our e-letter, please communicate. Send us an email with your email address. You will get it every week. It will give you approximately 10 pages of the liturgy and the scripture readings, so you know what's coming your way in advance to the Sunday service next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be Easter 7. Today is Easter 6. Never forget it, because we know that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. So Acts 17. I so identify with the Apostle Paul. I know people have differing opinions. Some tell me in Bible studies they just love Pauline writings. Others tell me he was too chauvinistic for them. They discourage reading and studying his word. Personal opinion aside, the experience of Paul before strangers, I guess we could say, because they were gathered philosophers, as was the custom in Athens, Greece. That's why they're Athenians. The major hill that took them up to the temple of all the gods, along the path are statues for the idols of those gods, a manifestation produced by human hands, but in no way of any living significance. As he's going up, there's one statue. Oh, these wise Greeks, they made a statue to catch all the other religions that might come down the pike, that they would say, that's our God for that person. So Paul uses this opportunity, his spirit of giving witness, to communicate by words and speak in a context that they can understand. I remember some 50 years ago in seminary, seminary professors told us, okay, you're embarking on your theological education to become pastors. I want you to know, in the course of your studies here at the seminary, we're going to teach you how to take that faith apart. So when you find parishioners or people out there in the world that don't understand the faith and have given up in disbelief, you will help rebuild it like a mechanic, an engineer, would rebuild the motor of a car. You will take it apart. You'll know how to clean it and put it back together again. Now, if it was up to me, I'd try to get things apart, but I would have no idea how to put it back together in real time. But when we deal with the faith, I have been trained. And I do understand what's involved, like Paul does, to speak and to interpret the symbols of the culture in the world around us and contextualize, you like that big word? Contextualize it to the real time of this world. So let's do that with the text. He comes up and he says, I see your wise people. Oh, play to the ego, right? You've got so many things mastered. You think you've figured it out. You have tried to emulate and aspire to God. I don't know about you, but I think there are a lot of people who think they're wise in this world, this time, and they don't get what God really is. But if you were to confront them with their ignorance, they would really get irate with you. Paul goes on to understand that the God that he represents is the God of all things, not just of the Greeks, not just of the Romans, not just of any culture or any particular portion of the human family. But he was the God of the universe from the very beginning of creation. But unfortunately, while you think people would get on to understand this God, they have shown their ignorance. He calls everybody to repent, verse 30. He has fixed a day on which he'll have this world judged in righteousness by a man, oh, he comes in gently with Jesus, who he appointed. And then he has given assurance to all. Here are the words that will irate and turn the Greeks on the Mount of Areopagus against Paul and the message he preaches. You see, the Greeks don't believe that there's a resurrection of the body. When you and I die, we melt into the elements. There's nothing more of us because this body is corrupt. It's evil. It's the source of all of our trouble in this world. Most of us can affirm all that. But then we go on beyond that as Christians to say God has a plan that beyond this life, when we die, we will be raised from the dead in an extraordinary way with a spiritual body. Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, will talk about that resurrection body. We shall be raised in the dead even as Christ was. He was the first fruits. We will follow in like fashion. Thank you, Lord, that knowing whatever happens in this life and this time, we are still in your hands. You still know what's going on around us. And we should hold on to you with both of our hands. Praise God. Second reading, Peter. Like I said, Peter was one of those, there's two letters, so if you check your New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. This is the one where he goes on to say, be ready to make a defense to anybody in your life who asks you, why would you believe in God? Why do you go to church? Don't you understand? We, the enlightened of your world, I don't know who that might be. Quite a few stand in front of the media, stand in front of TV cameras, do movies, and proclaim that this God that the Christian people have followed is a non-existent being. Has no bearing on acceptable conditions of morality or behaviors for the human family. Oh, woe is them. Be ready to know your faith. I'm surprised and disappointed that in so many of our churches, so few know the vast amount of scripture of God's word. Harley Swiggum, author of the Bethel Bible series, as I received instruction from him about 50 years ago, he said, if you were to compare a number of contact hours people have in church studying the Word of God, you'd probably compare it in secular education to maybe kindergartners. And here we go out into the world with little knowledge, little experience about what the faith is. We kind of cop out and say, well, the pastor will explain it to you. I don't get it. I don't see Peter saying that's the appropriate response. If God has put you into contact with somebody else, in your sphere of friends and contacts, and they're struggling with life, death, illness, struggling with meaning and purpose to life, struggling with substance abuse and recovery, use that time as an instrument of God to be scolding your faith so that you can interpret the context in which the people around you find themselves. He says, this isn't going to be easy for you. It isn't easy for the Christian. No, it's not. You're going to make enemies. You're going to call people foolish. So if you're living for your ego, oh, sacrifice that to God. Because this isn't going to win you friends and influence people. Understand that God understands through his son, Jesus Christ, what suffering is all about. He was put to death, in which he also made a proclamation to those who had already died about how God works and what God was doing in Jesus' life. So I make an appeal to you, Peter goes on to say, to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone ahead of us into heaven and now sits on the right hand of the Father. Angels, authorities, and powers are now subject to Jesus. This is not just a man. This is the Son of God, the Divine One, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's Elohim. He's El Shaddai. All those Hebrew words of the Old Testament now can be penned to Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, what a mighty deed God has done in his Son. Let's go to the Gospel. We've portioned out the gospel and the lectionary into smaller segments because it's, I like this word, it's so pregnant with things to learn. So here's the one for today. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Now this year, because of pandemic, we didn't have a Monday, Thursday service. So consequently, you didn't hear this reading. See, on Monday, Thursday, there is a text that this is the Great Commission, that you love one another as I have loved you, so too you must love one another. By this the world will know that you are my people, that you have love for one another. We understand that this is the greatest commandment, and I understand that we're not going to be left alone because Jesus says, I didn't leave you as orphans. I've left you to be part of something bigger than that. My descendants, my family, and those who have been invited first class into the kingdom of God. But the key is not your works. The key is not just a dead faith, a cerebral response to an act within the human heart. It's about life transformed in the image of Christ's love. Now, personal journey, my life, Pastor Don, PD. I was raised in the church, and I indicated last week some personal background to me. At the age of 5, I would go to church most of the time by myself, or my parents would drop me off before I was old enough to walk it myself. And I stayed with it through high school. And I acquired through confirmation, through listening to sermons. Not many classes, except I went to Sunday school, and I never had a perfect attendance. I acquired knowledge of the faith, the cerebral stuff that everybody memorizes their Bible bullet verses. And then in college, contemplating my future, my career, and my desire to be successful in the world, little did I know, but I sure would meet it, God had a different will and purpose. In a summer before my senior year, participated with some high school friends who became faith-based in the experience of discovering or God discovering them and waking them up to faith in Christ. We went to many different Bible studies. We went to many sing-alongs in that summer period of 3 months, June through August. And then when I returned back to Columbus, Ohio, to Capital University, my college for my senior year, I sought out a youthful Bible study. There were about 10 of us at the beginning. By the end of the school year, there were over 100 gathering every day, Monday through Friday. The song that grabbed my heart, grabbed my brain. These are the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it, and you're not going to hear the music. Hear the poetry by the composer Kelly Willard. Although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and though I prophesy and understand all, although I have all faith, so mountains might be removed, and though I feed the poor and give up my life. Chorus, if I have not charity, if love doesn't flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. Jesus, reduce me to love. And continuing on, love is patient and kind. Love is not envious, it's not proud, but it's gentle and meek. It seeks not its own way. Love sings when Jesus prevails. It believes, endures all things. Love hopes and bears all things. Love never fails. One season, I was a child. I spoke and I thought as a child. And when I turned into a man, such ways were put aside. And though we see through a glass now, then we shall see face to face. Though now abide faith and hope, the greatest of these is love. And then the refrain, if I have not charity, if love doesn't flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. Jesus, reduce me to love. The poetry is beautiful. You know the passage, 1 Corinthians 13. We used to sing it at the choir, and I told Sharon Hudson, who preceded me, I wanted this to be sung at my funeral. Charity, it's all about love. understanding that this is the heart of the gospel. And if we don't get it, we will lose it. We may pass the test when the papers hand out what Bible verses you remember, but if there isn't the manifestation of love in your life and my life, we'll never see it. So in the book of Acts, we're reminded that we should not necessarily expect everything to go well, and we must be contextual in how we engage the world with real information, real knowledge, faith-based words that better days are coming. For those who have read my e-letter this week, I referred to two secular songs in it that are messages of hope. It's not like that stuff you hear in the news broadcast. First one was, did you hear it? Do you hear it in your own head? Tomorrow, from Annie. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll love you tomorrow. Yes, there's a better day. And then the other one was a movie that came out preceding Titanic, but I don't know if they were, how they played against each other. But in 1972, a movie came out called The Poseidon Adventure. Story about people on a ship coming across the Atlantic, hit an iceberg. The scene inside the dining hall as the tables and the ship is listing and going under was, there's gotta be a morning after. Maureen McGovern sang that and got, I think, a Grammy on that one. Understand, there is a tomorrow. This is not all there is. I like how the New Testament says we are people of hope. We do not despair, for our God is a living God, and he has bound himself to us, both in the reading of Peter, as well as in the promise of a love covenant and a renewal of our relationship to God through resurrection. May that living God keep you in your happy place as long as possible. Amen.
I think he's an awesome God.
Oh, I think he is too.
Very much so. So, as an awesome God, he is worthy of our worship. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
We listen to our hymn of the day, As the Deer Pants for the Water. It was requested by Shirley McLean for Doug's funeral, and we produced it. We sang it.
You are Lord, my strength, my shield.
service continues with the prayers for the people.
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Abiding God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking, in our living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to the oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You come near to us when we are lost. You hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to make hold of our baptismal promises to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray not just for more things for us or just to have our way, but it's a prayer of thanksgiving for Sandy Smith, being notified that since her apartment burned out in December, she has procured in the next couple weeks secure all the paper documentation for getting a new residence from Tony Gaines' home. We thank you, Lord, for hearing her prayer and acting. So with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray in your eternal care through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And so as people of God, who are still faithful in prayer, we pray as Christ taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This time in our service, we always take the offering. It is not because we're money hungry, it is because we want to support the ministry. And in this material world, it takes material to make that happen. We thank you for your steadfastness. If you've been contributing to the ministry, we do in God's name. It is not just for self here at Our Savior. We are a place where ministry happens through us, even if we cannot be gathered together. And believe me, we're looking forward to us being gathered together. In fact, last night I sent out 25 pages scanned from the Synod office from our bishop and conjointly with the Episcopal Lutheran Churches of Michigan. A statement to ponder and consider whenever we open up our doors, because it's not going to be the same. We are asking all council people to respond by Thursday, by phone, by email, by snail mail, whatever, just get it to us so that we can set up a time for our council get together to discuss it. We need to discuss how we will do it. Okay, no timetable, no expectation of when that will happen, so don't get jumping the gun. So we need your support for the organ fund. We received a few dollars this last week. We need support for Blue Water Food Pantry, local ministry, as well as the soup kitchen, their construction plans to feeding the hungry of this community.
OPD, question.
Yes?
If somebody drops off like a bag of food like we do on Sundays, does the trustee or the deacon pick that up and deliver it to the food depot?
We have not received any during this time of lockdown. I think people understand we are not staffed to do it.
So if we wanted to give something, would give it to,
I would say give it to the food depot themselves.
Oh, okay.
Directly, go to the source, and then you have less people involved.
Oh, okay.
The other thing I would say is cash donations, because what you and I may spend $20 for at the grocery store, if we had that 20, they could get $120 purchasing power by giving cash.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Six
yes.
times one.
Okay.
It's a wonderful way to more than support, but for the need being so great, think of gifting the Blue Water Food Pantry down the street from us on 10th. So, let me update you on radio broadcasts. Today, as I indicated, Jim Wendt is sponsoring this broadcast by Ruth Wentz for her birthday as well as her death some year ago.
Two years?
Okay, I'll check it out with Jim. Altar flowers will come when we open up the building. Lori Parker is sponsoring the radio broadcast on May 24th in memory of Annette Pickett's birthday. That is Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, Annette, for Annette. Then on May 31st, Carolyn Seaford is sponsoring the broadcast. Carolyn listens to us for over a decade. When her mother was alive, passed away 8 years ago, she too would listen to us. So a longtime listener. Thank you, Carolyn. May 31st. We have opened June 3rd, June 10th, June 17th. And then we got a call in this week from Kay and Bill Price. June 24th is scheduled. They're going to celebrate 54 years of happy, bliss marriage. Right, Bill and Kay? So that's what we've got. Connect with us that we may pass the word on and get sponsors for the other times. Trying to think anything else. Most important thing is dealing with the church council. Get those documents and responses in by Thursday. So, our gifts are presented, and Hope, if you'll lead us in prayer.
Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make them in abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name in the strength of the risen Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's something I've been waiting for. This is a music selection prepared and delivered to me on Friday evening by Brad for Jack and Denver D. Terry's production for us. They chose a selection from the Internet Bank, and it's called Easter Number One. First phase, which is beginning, is dealing with Good Friday. Second phase will be Easter Resurrection. You'll hear it.
Thank you.
Which you're listening to, don't turn it down so low. Jack is playing two alto selections. Denver is playing a tenor and baritone piece. The wonders of technology. This is Easter. Terry's. And now may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Closing hymn as Cheryl leads us, I Need Thee Every Hour. Cheryl, stay on radio.
Oh, absolutely. Christ is risen just as he said. Go in peace. Share the good news. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. My wife likes to have the last word. She gets it.
I do.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace of